Hello, thank you so much for allowing me to share God's word with you today. God loves you, He's for you. I want to start off today for us thinking about this idea of discipleship. We've been talking about discipleship for weeks. And I want us to think about the end of the Gospel of John, where Jesus asked Peter this question, excuse me, three times over. Do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Simon, do you love me? And I want us to think about that's really the heart of the question for discipleship. Jesus had spent these 3 years with Peter developing something, building something in Peter, calling something out of Peter. In the end of it all, the end game for Jesus was this question, this burning question, do you love me, Peter? And our discipleship should be going somewhere. You know, what Jesus had in mind for the end of discipleship is a heart passionately burning for God, a heart that's fully in love with God. And at the end of the story, that's what Jesus is trying to produce. He wants to see that in us as our lives, as we grow in our lives and walk through this journey of life, that our love for God would be growing, and that Jesus longs to cultivate that love until it's burning and just strong, so strong. And so Peter was a lover of God, and Peter in his life that he lived with Jesus on the earth, he loved a lot of things, even religious things. But the question, the burning question, is did he love Jesus? And that's what Jesus really wanted. And so Jesus has got, in his life on the earth, he had gotten a lot of people started on this journey of loving God. You think about Matthew. He started a fire in Matthew's heart. He kindled a fire in Lazarus's heart and Mary's heart and John's heart and Zacchaeus's heart. He had this knack for getting people started in this passion for God, this incredible love for God. And Jesus would love for us to have that same knack, to be able to stir passion in the hearts of others, those who don't love God, that we would have that same knack to get a fire started. And the Lord has encouraged us, if we'll go after the lost, He'll take care of the church. And the primary way of going after the lost is to get a fire started in people's hearts, to help them see, get a good glimpse of God and how beautiful and how wonderful He is, so that they would begin to love Him as well. And that's really the point. And so James K.A. Smith, he says this in his book, You Are Who You Love, or You Are What You Love. He says this: Jesus is a teacher who doesn't just inform our intellect, but forms our very loves. And so Jesus would love to form in you a burning heart for God. John Wesley's experience on Aldersgate Street, he said that, you know, his heart was strangely warmed. God had started a heart, he had started a fire in John Wesley's heart to truly love God and go after God. And so Jesus is a teacher who doesn't just inform our intellect, but he forms our very loves. You know, what if by design, human beings are first and foremost lovers? That's what James Smith would propose. What if it means to be made in God's image really means having the ability to love, and thereby the ability to worship. You know, worship and love, they define the spiritual life, what we love and what we worship. It's really the same question, same answer. The question is not if you will love, but what you will love. We are made to worship. We are made to love. And every human being on this planet is worshiping something. We may not know exactly what that is, but every human being on this planet was made in the image of God, designed to worship. And if you worship, it's not a question if you worship, but what you worship. And those answers will determine who you will be in the end. And so what you love will determine who you will be in the end. What you worship will determine whom you will be at the end of your days. And so you're going somewhere. You're either growing in discipleship or you're moving further away. It's impossible to stay still. You're either growing closer to God or by very nature, you're moving further away from Him. And because there's no plateau, you're either being spiritually formed or deformed spiritually. And the thing that determines the answer to that question is, what are you loving? You know, what are you worshiping? What are you truly longing for? And where is that longing taking you? Where is your love pointed? And for every believer, it should be pointed at Jesus, at Christ's likeness, at loving Him more, growing more like Him, placing our affection, our love, our desire in His direction, growing in God, is growing in passion for God. And so I want to encourage you today that you too can light fires in the hearts of others. You too can stir up a love for God in others and can begin to cultivate worship in others for the living God, pointing them toward the living God in love. In Jesus, He pointed the woman at the well toward His Father in love. He stirred up a passion in her. He stirred up a love in her in one conversation, so much so that her life was forever changed. And this is what John 4:39-42 tells us. As many Samaritans believed because of this woman's testimony, after one conversation with Jesus, He can get a fire started so quickly. In verses 39-42, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." When they came out to see Him, they begged Him to stay in their village. So He stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear His message and believe. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard Him ourselves. Now we know that He is indeed the Savior of the world." So you can start a fire in others. You can get others in a deep walk with God. Let them see for themselves. But you help get them started. And so you too can light fires in the kingdom. And she said, "Come see a man. Come see this Jesus." Every love of my life, I've thought about this a lot this week, but every love of my life was helped along by someone else. I think about basketball. I think about my friends, Eric and Chris, how we used to talk basketball all the time in sixth grade. And it got me started loving basketball. I think about chess and how one of my early fifth grade teacher got me started with chess and how I loved that and grew in my love for that. I think about my friend Brian, who got me started with golf. And I think about, my wife, who got me started with chocolate, you know. And I think about my friend Clay and Mike, who got me started with guitar, and my grandmother with books. And it works the same way in the spiritual life. I think about my father and my pastor, Pete, who got me started in the Word and loving the Word. It happens the same way. People with a fire, a passion, a love for something, get in close proximity with someone who does not yet have that same love. And out of that relationship, a new love is birthed. And it's the same in the spiritual life. We can pass on what we love, Jesus. We can pass on a desire for God, and it's the greatest of all loves, and it's really worship, and we get to pass that on to others and to pass on the greatest gift, a relationship with God. And so you can light fires in the Spirit. Number one, you need a couple of things. The first thing that you need is you need to have a fire going yourself. You need to have a passionate, excited love with God, a relationship with God. You need to be passionate, excited about God, and that is contagious. And number two, you need to be generous and inviting other people into what you love, just inviting them to know you, and that'll naturally happen as the fire that's within you will spread to others. And it's the best way to share your faith, just to say, hey, can I introduce you to my Jesus? Can I commend to you my Savior? You know, that's the heart of the matter, isn't it? Can I tell you what brings me joy and excitement and peace and hope and what has brought the most blessing into my life? You know, Paul, he said this in Philippians 3:17. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. And Paul was confident of this. If you do the things that I do, if you watch the pattern of our lives, if you follow these same principles, you're going to find the same God. You're going to find the same joy. You're going to find the same power in your life. You're going to find the same reason for living, excitement and peace in this incredible relationship with God. And he was confident of that. It's through the pattern of our lives, it's through our interactions with others that we get to pass on the great loves of our lives. And I want to encourage you that your heart is like a compass or like a GPS. Your life will go where your love goes. Your life, the journey of your life will go, it will head in a direction, and that direction will be the direction of your love. Your life will go where your love goes. This is why we must beware, James K.A. Smith says, this is why we must beware of competing liturgies, which are really idols, things in this world that teach us to love something else besides God, to put something else instead of God in that first place of our life, in our lives, that direct us and guide us in a different direction. And so be careful of the competing liturgies, the idols that want to steal your heart, that want to steal your passion, that want to steal your love and attention. You know, your deepest desire will manifest itself in your daily life, in your daily rituals. And so if you truly love and passionately love God, you should see that fleshed out in your daily life, where you spend your time, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, where you devote your best attention and your best energy. Do you see God in the mix? Is he the passion of your life? Is Jesus the passion of your life? Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me? And it's really the first question in discipleship. It's where discipleship is heading. It's the end game of discipleship, our love for God, a completely devoted love for God. You know, I didn't like working out at one point in my life. Now I enjoy it. I used to hate coffee. Now I love it. You know, there's one point in my life I despised Brussels sprouts. Now they're one of my favorites. You know, discipleship can be an acquired taste. And if you do, like Paul said, if you practice these patterns, if you do these things, if you get around me and others who love the same God that I love, this same fire will be kindled in your heart. This same fire will burn brightly for God if you do these things. And so there are liturgies. If you practice the world's liturgies, you'll love what the world loves. If you practice the kingdom liturgies, you'll love the King. And so what were those things for Paul? Worship, you know, fellowship with other believers, being in church, you know, learning the scriptures, praying in the Spirit. You know, those were all things that helped this fire to burn hotter and hotter for God's glory. And Paul says, practice these same things that you've seen in my life, the same pattern, the things that you've seen me do. Do those things and pass them on to others who are faithful, and watch that fire of love for God just burn brightly, like these things that I just mentioned that I didn't used to like. They were an acquired taste. The kingdom of God can be an acquired taste until when you practice these spiritual disciplines, you will grow in your faith, and your love for God will grow. And so we, as believers, get to pass on our love for God. We get to help others burn more brightly for the Lord. And so, acquired tastes, you know, practice the things that Jesus tells you to practice in Scripture. Love the things that he tells you to love, and your love will grow. Your love for God will grow. And so James K. A. Smith, he said this in his book: we unconsciously learn to love rival kingdoms because we don't realize we're participating in rival liturgies. And so we can be deformed spiritually. You know, we talked about growing in Christianity, growing in our faith as spiritual formation. We can also be spiritually deformed when we walk in the world's liturgies that draw us into love things that aren't God's way. And for example, we can think about it in terms of commercialism. You know, for example, the mall doesn't care what you think, but it's very, very concerned with what you love. You know, what or who are you allowing to shape your loves? You know, would you come at this, I want to challenge you, would you come at this whole idea of faith in Christianity, would you come at this afresh as a beginner and ask afresh, Jesus, what should I love? Jesus, what should I love? And I feel like one of the most powerful things we could ever do is just to say, Lord, I want to begin again. I want to begin afresh. I need you to show me how to be a Christian and how to be a lover of God. And Lord, I want to sit down and read through these gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just a little each day. And I want to ask you, Lord, show me how to love. Show me to love what you love. Jesus, what should I love? Where is the pathway to love? How can I learn to love the way that you love? And how can I learn to be more passionately in love with God? And Jesus will give you the answers, and he'll wash away our pride, our arrogance, you know, our misconceptions, and he'll show us the way to be a disciple if we come to him humbly. And we need to be, if we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to burn brightly for God, then we need to be aware of competitors. We need to examine our lives and say, hey, is there congruence with what I say I believe and the way that I live and what the things that I say that I love and what I really love, what's really fleshed out in my life? And Jesus will show us the way forward, how to love what God loves. And Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And so Jesus is trying to stir up in his listeners a hunger and a thirst for God. Do you have a passion for God? And if you don't have it, then that's the very essence of what Jesus wants to do in your life. Peter met Jesus, and he walked with Jesus on a daily basis. And 3 years later, Jesus is asking Peter, Peter, do you love me? And that's the journey that Jesus wants to take you on. And he wants to cultivate a deep love for God within you. I am the bread of life, he said. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And so the Lord's trying to stir up a hunger and a thirst for him within your heart. He loves you so much, and he just longs for you to love him back, to love him as well. And that's the very heartbeat of a disciple. And so the scary thing about it, when we think about Peter's life and this point in the journey, Jesus knows the answer. Jesus knows that Peter loves him, but Jesus knows that Peter's missed the point in much of his life. And so it's possible, is the scary thing is it's possible to know scripture. It's possible to have Bible verses on every wall of your home, to be constantly listening to Christian music or messages, and having devotions, and yet to be completely self-centered and selfish and missing the whole point, that really it's about a passion and a love for God. And so Jesus is saying, after 3 years of discipleship, intense discipleship, Peter, do you love me? And Peter did love Jesus, and he lived a life of loving Jesus, but it's the point. And it's Jesus's way saying, hey, Peter, don't miss the point. And it's a reminder for each of us, you know, our worship is pointing us somewhere. The end of our days will end where we have aligned our loves in this world. And our primary love should be a love for God, a burning, all-consuming love for God. And that's the fire that God wants burning. I want you to hear the very heart of the psalmist in worship. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for God. Incredible. And that's the kind of love that God wants to stir within us as believers. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. Psalm 42, 1 and 2. You know, as the deer pants, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? You know, that's incredible. I want to read to you from Psalm 63, the first 8 verses. David says, O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I've seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. Boy, that's an incredible psalm. One who is passionately in love with God. And remember Jesus saying, Peter, do you love me? And it's the very essence, again, of discipleship, that the response to that question to the Lord, who loves us so much that he gave his very life for us upon the cross, the God who loves us enough to die in our place and to take our sins upon himself. It's incredible, the love of Jesus, that he would come to our world sinless and spotless. He would live the life that we should have lived, an incredible life of nothing but beauty and holiness and obedience to his Father, and that he would choose to take that life and absorb every sin that we've committed and to take it upon himself and to experience separation from God in order that we might have fellowship with God once again. That Jesus would do that, that he would love us that much. And he saw the Father's love for us, and he wanted so much for his Father to have relationship with his creation, with us once again. And so Jesus lived that life of love and sacrifice and made a way for us to again have relationship with God and to know his forever love and to know eternity. And so I just thank God for that today. That just stirs up worship within me. Yes, Jesus wants our love, and he deserves our love. And so I'll just close with what Jesus said was the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor. And that's the greatest commandment, to love God, to love him, to truly love him. And if we truly love him, we'll love what he loves, which includes our neighbor. And so I want to encourage you with those words. God loves you today. In a very real sense, your worship will determine your life. Your worship is pointing in the direction to which that your life will follow. Your life will follow your worship. And God, I pray that God is in the very first place in your heart, very first place in your life, and that he is ordering your loves. And Jesus wants to show you a deeper way to love, and a deeper way to walk in him. Let's pray. Lord, we just praise you, and we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that you would stir up our hearts to burn for you, to truly love you, that you would stir in our hearts, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to truly worship you, to worship you with everything that is within us. And we give you our lives afresh today. We want to follow you, Jesus. And we don't want to just follow, but we want to love you as well. Love you deeply. I pray for that love to fill us all. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening.